Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. Today is day 19 of the season of The Witch, and today we're going to be talking about zombies. Now, zombies is something that I think I've talked quite a bit about, and I've probably touched upon the best-known examples of zombie movies, starting with Haitian zombie movies such as White Zombie and I Walked with a Zombie, and various other movies with the title zombie in them, up to the evolution of the zombie with George Romero's Living Dead series, and a more recent zombie movie such as 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, and a smattering of other zombie-related movies throughout there. And with in the 20-teens, I guess, yeah, it would have been the 20-teens, zombies were at an all-time high in popularity. All of a sudden, zombies were the biggest thing ever. And probably one of the things that really helped with that was the creation of the TV series The Walking Dead, which was based on a comic book that I am not really the biggest fan of. And the show itself was extremely uneven. First two seasons are almost unwatchable. But the thing that always kept me watching that show was the crazy gore effects. And to think that this is something that was on, you know, AMC, it's insane. You know, 3 years prior to that, there's no way that they would have shown something with that level of gore on basic cable. But here we are. And along with The Walking Dead, I'm not saying that it was the only thing. I mean, there was 28 Days Later, obviously helped with that the decade before. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and lots of other things, probably the political unrest at the time as well, or just the changing times, really helped with the proliferation of zombies in that time period. And zombies ended up kind of becoming like this shorthand for everything. And zombie survival was like a big thing. Like, you could go to places and basically go through haunted mazes where you would quote-unquote survive the zombie. There was quizzes about, would you survive? I am pretty damn sure if we were in the zombie apocalypse, I'd be fucking dead. I'm not the best survivalist. And yeah, my tasty brains would be all over someone's mouth. But even though I've talked about these movies and even like more cult movies like Return of the Living Dead, there's still a lot that has been done with zombies, and zombies can be kind of applied to all sorts of different things, and you can kind of do a lot of, you can kind of go in a lot of different ways and a lot of different directions with zombies. So I kind of wanted to highlight some interesting zombie movies and some that did some interesting things with the genre and with what you would expect in a zombie movie. Now the first movie I wanted to talk about is Nightmare City, starring Ugo Stieglitz, who's actor is name-checked in Inglourious Basterds as there is a literal character named Ugo Stieglitz, who is a zombie, a Nazi hunter. Nightmare City came out in 1980, and I mean, I saw it much later. I was like in my 20s, but for me at least, this is the first movie that had fast zombies, and this was directed by Umberto Lenzi, who is another just great Italian director and someone who did these crazy movies, some of which are basically just ripping off whatever was popular at the time. Lots of, you know, action movies, horror movies, but Nightmare City is insane. As I said, like, this is one of the first movies that I ever saw that had fast zombies. It wasn't like 28 Days Later or the Dawn of the Dead remake brought that up. It was something that kind of has happened before. And I know that fast zombies, amongst some zombie fans, is like sacrilege, and some people prefer them. Some people prefer the slow zombies. To me, whatever, man, whatever story you want to tell, if you want to become slow or fast, if you want to make it make sense in whatever way you want to make it sense, you know, go nuts, go for it. As long as you do a good movie, I doesn't matter to me. But Nightmare City is this crazy violent movie where we follow Ugo Stieglitz, who plays a reporter who's on the ground in the city, who gets overrun by these ghouls like zombie creatures. They run everywhere, they attack people with weapons, they drink their blood, so it's a little different from your typical zombie. But anyone, much like in a zombie movie, that gets killed by them, gets bit by them, has their blood drank by these ghouls, becomes one of them. So it's everything it's basically a zombie movie in everything but name. Or I guess you could think of them as blood-drinking zombies. Nightmare City is insane, and it has this, like, kind of stupid twist at the end where it's all a dream, but then maybe it isn't. But this movie's nuts, and it's something that I saw, or that I picked up in, like, a video store, just because it had the title, City of the Walking Dead, which is like an alternate title for this movie. And I saw this movie with this title, City of the Walking Dead, and much like, you know, old VHS tapes, because I want to say this is actually a VHS tape, even though this place had mostly had DVDs, it had this great artwork that looked interesting, and I saw this, and, you know, that twist that it's all a dream, I was like, really? But, you know what, this was super enjoyable. It is insane, and just gory as all fuck. Like, I mean, it's Italian horror, like, it's basically gory, and not that it's the most realistic gore. We're not talking about, you know, prestige French horror here, we're talking about, you know, gritty Italian horror. And yeah, man, Nightmare City is something for sure. But as I mentioned, you know, zombies themselves, in a way, kind of became ubiquitous, and because of that, people were trying different things. And in 2013, we got the first, or at least that I can think of, the first zombie rom-com in Warm Bodies, starring Nicholas Holt as a teenage zombie named R, and Teresa Palmer as Julie, the girl that he falls in love with. Because this movie is from the point of view of R, so it's the point of view of a zombie, and he talks about how he doesn't really know why, you know, how he became a zombie. He knows he's a zombie, and he mentions in one of the voiceovers that if he eats the brains of somebody, he gets to know their memories and kind of relive their memories, and that brains taste better. If he eats their flesh, they just become a zombie. So R ends up eating the brains of Perry, played by Dave Franco, who was a guy that was infatuated with Julie, and maybe was her boyfriend, I forget. In any case, because of this, R was already kind of infatuated with Julie, and when he first meets her, like, this is almost like, this is the fucking weirdest meet cute ever. R, instead of biting Julie, and Julie instead of, ends up shooting another, R hesitates in biting Julie. Julie shoots another zombie in the head. Perry shoots R in the shoulder, so R eats Perry's brain. And after that, he becomes even more protective of Julie. And not to mention, he has a best friend zombie named M, or that he calls M, who's played by Rob Corddry, which is ridiculous. But as time passes, he starts to have more emotions, and he starts to become less and less zombie-like. And much like a zombie virus or zombie plague, people around him start to change as well. And it leads to this basically, like, people converted zombies and humans having to fight against what he calls bonies, which are more deteriorated zombies that just destroy people indiscriminately. Warm Bodies is great just because it's out there, like, the premise is out there, and it's really well done, and it's just a fun movie. And just anything that has Rob Corddry as a zombie trying to protect his zombie friend is just worth checking out. One of the more interesting takes, talking about the point of view of a zombie or one of the more interesting zombie movies, is The Girl with All the Gifts from 2016, written by Mike Carey from his novel. Mike Carey, who I know from, like, X-Men comics and, like, Lucifer comics. But in this movie, it starts basically, we're in a classroom with these children who are they're in prison, and they're led around by collars with these poles, and everyone looks like they're in the military. And little by little, we figure out that they're zombies. They go into a classroom taught by Helen, played by Gemma Arterton. And she has this fascination with one of the girls, Melanie, who is more and more human each day. And we get this scene where Patty Considine reminds her of what they are by spitting on his hand and rubbing rubbing his spit all over his hand. And one of the kids starts to mutate in that moment into a zombie. And we realize that what has happened is that there's this spore that has bonded with the majority of humans, turning them into zombies, and that amongst the people who had been infected were pregnant women who gave birth to these children who are basically a spore, so a mushroom-human hybrid. Glenn Close is a doctor who is doing research and who thinks that there's something in these children that will allow them to find a cure. Now, in the middle of this, much like in The Last of Us, Melanie is seen as the person whose brain really would have the needs to be dissected in order to find that cure. But as Glenn Close comes to the decision to finally cut her brain out and try to create this cure, their base is attacked and overrun by zombies. Melanie is able to escape alongside Glenn Close, Patty Considine, and Gemma Arterton, along with some other soldiers. They then have to go into London and try to find safety within London, looking for another group of soldiers that was stationed there. The city's been overrun by zombies that have progressed in more, or who have been zombies longer, and they're basically like fungi, just kind of just standing around like plants. And the city itself is overrun by these spores. And we learn as time passes that there really is no hope for humanity. And Melanie ends up making the decision to release the spores. And now these hybrid zombie children, since we end up meeting a bunch of survivors in London, kids who basically are hunting humans and who have created their own little mini society, that they are going to inherit the Earth. And Helen, Gemma Arterton, is kept in isolation to be their teacher, to teach them to create their society. The Girl with All the Gifts is this really just fascinating, really, really different take on zombies, and just kind of taking this whole different approach on what to expect in a zombie movie. It's great, it's fascinating, it's not at all what I would expect in a zombie movie, and it's definitely worth checking out because of that, because it's something completely different from what you would expect. And you still get all this nasty gore and people's, you know, faces getting bit off and shit like that. So, you know, if you want that from a zombie movie, you get it as well. One of my favorite zombie movies is Stuart Gordon's Reanimator. And Stuart Gordon, he's best known, I think, for his work, the movies he did alongside Jeffrey Combs, most of which were based on H.P. Lovecraft stories. And Reanimator itself is based on Herbert West's Reanimator by H.P. Lovecraft. This is neither here nor there, but somebody did a parody years ago of this book as like a short novella called Kanye West Reanimator. It's ridiculous. It's not very good, but just the premise alone is worth checking out just for that. But in any case, Reanimator is one of the craziest horror comedies that I've ever seen. Jeffrey Combs, who is like like a very serious, really good actor, and so with like a stage background, basically running around chewing scenery, obsessed with creating this serum that will reanimate the dead people, and to the point that he like literally like will stitch pieces together and body pieces together and inject them to see if they'll reanimate, and always trying to find this elusive serum that will be able to make people come back from the dead. And I say elusive because even though he is able to reanimate people, they're off. They're not the same. This movie is nuts. Like, it has some of the craziest sequences. Like, one of his rivals, Dr. Carl Hill, played by David Gill, gets decapitated in one scene. So Jeffrey Combs decides to reanimate both his decapitated body and his decapitated head. And there's a sequence with Barbara Crampton, glorious scream queen Barbara Crampton, where Dr. Carl's body basically lugs around his head to make out with her. And it's insinuated that he either is about to or actually performs cunnilingus as he severed head on Barbara Crampton. This movie's insane. And just as, like, gory as it is, because trust me, they fucking go for the gore in this movie, it is just as ridiculous, and there's just as much comedic, just as much humor as gore. Reanimator was a movie that actually ended up spawning a sequel, Bride of Reanimator, which is basically just a, almost like this Bride of Frankenstein take on Reanimator. It's ridiculous, and for me, it leads to this great sequence where, so like in the first movie, the first Reanimator, alongside Jeffrey Combs is Bruce Abbott's Dr. Dan Cain. So it's Dr. West and Dr. Cain who are kind of reanimating everybody, and Jeffrey Combs in Bride of Reanimator ends up convincing Dr. Cain to create this woman out of all these pieces of other dead women by convincing him, basically by saying that they will use Barbara Crampton's heart, who was his girlfriend in the first movie. And there's this sequence where he basically convinces him by saying, oh, like, think about this perfect woman who will have the face of an angel and the hands of a pianist and the legs of a prostitute and the untouched womb of a virgin, and it's just so insane. And then of course they create this amalgamated monster of a human, and even though they're doctors, I guess they never thought about, like, how a body would react, like different bodies if they have different blood types. And she ends up blowing up, and just for that alone, Bride of Reanimator, at least that sequence, those sequences are worth checking out. I mean, Reanimator is definitely a great movie, lots of fun, but Bride of Reanimator is just ridiculous. I enjoy it, but really, if you're going to watch any of the two, it's Reanimator. Horror movies in general, you know, are a global thing, and zombie movies aren't something that's just here in America, you know. South Korea in the last... Oh, well, in the last 20 years has really kind of taken on and really changed cinema. And South Korean movies are great, and they've taken on horror. And, I mean, they have some really great horror movies like, you know, The Host, which or Host by Bong Joon-ho. It's great. But when it comes to zombies, one that's definitely worth checking out is Train to Busan from 2016, directed by Sang Ho Yen. In Train to Busan, we follow this group of people who are on a train from Seoul to Busan when the apocalypse breaks out, and they have to survive. And this is one of the few movies that I could think of, or maybe the only zombie movie that I could think of specifically, where we follow, where part of the survivors, or part of the group of people that are present, is a father and a daughter as kind of main characters. Because, like, I'm thinking, like, in World War Z, yeah, Brad Pitt's trying to save his family and everything, but he's also, like, you know, like, a hot shit special ops guy, you know? This is just a regular businessman who doesn't spend enough time with his daughter, and he's in the situation where he has to try to protect her. Among the group, there's also a bunch of teenagers, and there's a pregnant woman, so it's just kind of this idea of people trying to survive as a community. And I guess in, like, The Walking Dead, they do that as well, but... it's just the propulsive nature of this, being on a train and discovering that every single time they think they're in a safe situation, they're not. This movie's great, and just kind of as a dad having that dynamic of seeing someone trying everything they can to try to save or protect their daughter, and, you know, not knowing the best job of it along the way. Yeah, because I don't know what the hell I would do in a zombie apocalypse, but I feel that there's definitely a... sense of that could happen. Now I had mentioned America isn't the only place that that has zombie movies, and I think one of the craziest zombie movies ever is Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, or was originally known, or as it's known internationally, Brain Dead. Peter Jackson, before he did Lord of the Rings and King Kong and The Hobbit and these huge, like, CGI spectacles with all these, like, state-of-the-art special effects and trying to do different methods and trying to move movies forward, like 60 frames per second and all that, before all that... Peter Jackson was basically an edgelordy of cult filmmaker who made these like low budget crazy movies like Meet the Beatles. I can't remember the name of the movie now. It's basically Sesame Street, but if puppets fucked. Brain Dead is this ridiculously gory movie about this young man who his mom gets bitten by a Sumatran rat monkey that turns her into a zombie, and he doesn't want to kill her, so he basically sedates her and keeps her in the basement. But this rat monkey ends up the rat monkey gets killed, but like his mom, she dies, she comes back to life. He wants to keep her there, but she keeps getting out and like eating people who then become zombies as well. And amongst those people that gets bit is Stuart Devaney, who plays Father Magruder, who kicks ass for the Lord. And this is a so ridiculous. This is a priest who does kung fu and beats up zombies until he gets bit as well, and who then ends up impregnating Lionel. He's the main character. Lionel's mom, who gives birth to a zombie baby, and we get this ridiculous sequence of like Lionel taking this zombie baby out and trying to treat like just a regular baby and beating the shit out of it because he's trying to bite people and everything, and just everyone looking at it, like this is the most normal thing ever of seeing this man just beating up a tiny baby. This movie's crazy. It ends with this sequence of Lionel basically destroying all the zombies with a lawnmower that he picks up and just runs around with and just slicing people up. It is over the top, insane gore. Like, it's not realistic at all. I mean, this is the kind of movie where this is like Evil Dead levels of bloodshed. Like, someone's face gets cut off or something, and boom, there's just like a geyser of blood gushing out of it. It's insane. And this movie is a lot of fun. And if you ever wondered what a Peter Jackson movie looked like without the budget and without the restraint, well, I guess you've seen them without the restraint, but without the restraint of like good taste. And that's one of the movies he made, literally called Bad Taste. Brain Dead is worth checking out. It's just, it's so so insane. The other movie I was thinking about was Meet the Feebles, but that's the puppet movie. As I mentioned, you know, this kind of idea of flesh-eating zombies that devour people's brains or devour flesh, drink blood, that kill people, it is more of this extrapolation from what George Romero did before that. We had more of Haitian zombies, and it's an idea that's interesting, but that really hasn't come up in a movie since Romero, except for here and there. And I think one of the best, like, more modern examples, and I say more modern because it's from 1988, is Wes Craven's The Serpent and the Rainbow. And I love Wes Craven, as I mentioned before. I think his movies are just infinitely interesting. And in this one, we have Bill Pullman learning about voodoo and himself being turned into a zombie and into a time period. And it's just great. And like I said, I think Wes Craven always just kind of has like these different ideas. And I just kind of wanted to spotlight it. If you're interested in seeing something of a somewhat more modern take on that old timey zombie. And the last movie that I really wanted to talk about is 2017's Anna and the Apocalypse, which basically is like, what if Shaun of the Dead were a musical? Like, I have no other way of explaining this movie. This movie is set at Christmas. It follows a group of teenagers, including the titular Anna Shepherd, played by Ella Hunt, as they're basically in a musical with some great music in it as people are being eaten and torn asunder. And I have to say, this is probably, in all the craziest things I've seen in zombie movies, this is one of the few ones I could think of that actually shows, or it doesn't show, but it definitely very heavily implies that a zombie eats a baby out of its carriage. So there's that. And I mean, that's the thing about zombies, and I think that's the thing about certain monsters. Like, you know, you think about vampires, which I've talked about in lots of different ways. You can do different things with them. You can do different takes, or you can even try to come from it from a different angle, something that people aren't necessarily used to. And I think having so many zombie movies has kind of led people to get creative, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, I like me a good zombie movie. What can I say? Thank you for listening. That's going to be it for today, and we'll be back tomorrow.